Hey guys, it's Dave DeFore. Join me and my buddies Seth Partnow and Mo Dakhil every Friday right here on the Athletic NBA Show for Nerder She Wrote, a podcast that attempts to look at the cutting edge of the NBA and the sport of basketball. Whether it's sports science, a deep dive on X's and O's, tales from the video room, or the next big thing in analytics, you can find it all every single Friday on Nerder She Wrote right here on the Athletic NBA Show.
Join us this Saturday for an all-new episode of The Athletic NBA Show, Saturday Slam and Jam, hosted by me, Andrew Schlecht. I'll be joined by my co-hosts Alex Spears and many of the Athletic beat writers that you know and love. We will recap the week of the NBA, play some NBA trivia, and just overall talk about the league that we love most. So while you're flipping your flapjacks, tending to your yard, or just sipping your coffee on Saturday morning, listen to Saturday Slam and Jam on The Athletic NBA Show.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hate. Stop hating. Everybody hate.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention coming up on the show. Russ's return, or maybe Russ's renaissance. Kevin Love, mea culpa. Dr. J snubs LeBron. Warriors tank. And Julius Randle's New York Knicks. I'm Zach Harper, Jade Hoy producing. In this corner, Bay Area legend and author of two books about the Warriors dynasty, the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, is Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul bad for boxing?
Absolutely, but it's not like boxing was doing great anyway. I don't know how much. I mean, Jake Paul is probably, is it Jake Paul or Logan Paul? Which one is it?
Jake Paul's the one that's been winning. Yeah, Logan Paul's the one he's fighting.
The fact that Jake Paul can get in a ring with Mayweather and it's a thing already lets you know where boxing was. So, yeah, it's not good, but it's not like it was great.
It's so weird. I just never thought boxing would stoop to this. And in this corner, Bay Area suburban legend and the author of the book The Victory Machine, still available in paperback, Ethan Sherwood-Strauss. Ethan, what'd you have for dinner last night?
Steak. T-bone steak.
T-bone? Why the T-bone?
It's a good grilling steak. I like how you have different nodes, different nooks, different crannies. It's good for the grill.
I bought a torch, a little butane torch for the kitchen, and realized I'm probably going to use it for other things more than I use it for.
The butane torch in the kitchen is a game changer, and not just for food. It is a space age lighter, is what you're hinting at.
I'm sick of broiling stuff. You know, I just decided I'm sick of broiling stuff, and I just want to add my own little.
I think that's the way to go. And if you're into cigars.
I thought you just needed to meld two things together. Is that what it's like when you got the shoelaces and you want to twist them? Is that what you use it for? I don't understand the other use of this torch here.
Weed. Speaking of things going up, I'm getting high. The stock of the Wizards and Russell Westbrook. Never been higher. Jade, start the clock. This shit ain't easy. First it was Steph, then the Knicks, and now the Wizards? Yes, indeed, April was exactly what the doctor ordered for the tail end of the NBA season. In a time when fans are pretty much waiting for the playoffs to start, NBA has actually delivered. Russell Westbrook has delivered as well, breaking the long-standing NBA record in the Wizards' 146-143 loss to the San Antonio Spurs. Wilt Chamberlain's record of triple-doubles in a single month, which stood since 1968, is now done. Wilt had 11. Russ now has 12 in a month. Russ addressed his critics after the game. Jade, play the tape.
The thing is that for me, I take pride, like I said, like I say, every single night and leaving it all on the floor. I honestly believe there is no player like myself. And if people want to take it for granted, sorry for them.
Marcus, Russ, is he back? Let's throw the stat padding critics aside. Wizards are 10th in the East. Are you buying or selling on Russ, the Wizards, and this run?
I'm buying because I'm not, a championship is not on the market, right? I'm buying him getting the Wizards to the playoffs. I'm buying Westbrook bringing relevance to DC. I'm buying him keeping Bradley Beal in a Wizards uniform through the offseason. I'm buying them being like, ended up making a move and getting up there to 4 or 5 so they could lose to Miami in the second round. Like, I'm all in on this version of Russell Westbrook. It's not, he won't get them a championship, but you know what? There are other great things in life besides championships, which Jake Paul and Floyd Mayweather are proving.
Like money, I think is what you're insinuating there. Like money is also a good thing. This whole play-in tournament, I mean, credit to Westbrook, but this whole play-in bracket, it's a little confusing. It does feel almost like credit inflation, where they're printing more money, where we look at the Wizards and the standings and we go, oh, wow, they are inside the play-in bubble. This is incredible. I mean, obviously, they've been winning recently, but in a normal season, we would just look at them and we would go, this is just a failure. And it's a failure that's not going to lead to a good draft pick. It's completely reorienting our sense of how these teams are doing. And I also think it's interesting. I would like to know Westbrook's perspective on who his critics are. That's the question I have in my mind. Does he know a lot about it? Is it everybody, or is it just specifically Colin Cowherd? That's what I want to know, because Colin Cowherd, I think, is the preeminent Westbrook critic. After this, I am going to go on YouTube. I'm going to see if Cowherd has some sort of backhanded compliment about the triple-double accomplishment. I want to see the analogy. I want to see the pacing. I want to see, you got guys who are me guys, you know, accomplishment guys. And you've got guys who are team guys. You know, I want to see that. That's all I'm saying.
You saying Cowherd has been calling him out?
Mm.
Huh?
Yes. Yes.
Huh? I think Russ's critics are just the internet. Mm. I also think, I don't know what you do with this season in the long
math
run, because the issue is that the Wizards had so few players due to health and safety protocol that at one point they desperately signed Jordan Bell and Alex Len just to get a game in that night. Right? Mm. Like, that's where the Wizards were. So I'm with you. They are, I think, technically a failure, but Marcus, the play-in tournament has not breathed life into them, but it's taken the life out of tanking, right? Because normally these teams would be like, all right, we're done. But the Wizards do have a legitimate chance of making the playoffs, because you get into the play-in tournament, you have Russ and Beal. That's a good start.
That's good. That's good for the league, I think, that you don't have half the league like chilling right now. Even Dallas, who was hating when they thought they were in a play-in tournament, can like relax now because they got the 6th seed, right? It's all good right now. Mark Cuban's like, I'm fine with it. I mean, even real talk, like the Warriors, you know, like they just got smacked by 30 on national TV and it ain't over, right? That's normally a season ender, right? That's normally like, yo, we're done. What are we doing? And now it's like, all right, well, we could go for that 7, 8, 9, 10 at the worst, right? I feel like this has been, I think it's been a surprisingly effective method for bringing some entertainment to the season. And it's been needed because it's been long. It's been grueling. It's been irritating with all of the protocols and people who are out. It's been a tiresome season to follow. So I think it's good for the league that something is at the end. But you know what? Before we go on, I have to address something that you're calling, you know, whatever wordplay just brought up. I need to address the fact that your "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina" line is getting far too much love online. But I will say it was incredible. But
of course, this is like saying Michael Jordan's popular.
No, I listened again, and I really feel like, man, y'all sleep on my Madonna references. I think I really brought the heat, and I feel like people online are too busy kissing your butt that they didn't really see how great I was, which is, you know, kind of how it works for your life and kind of how it works for my life. But I'm going to put it on the record. Like, I was rolling with you on there. I was hanging. And you don't just get to just, like, skate off into the sunset like somehow you were just superior to me. Like, we were neck and neck.
It just, the thing with that was nobody knew he was going to go Evita. You know, that was off the map.
Exactly.
We were thinking about albums.
That's not the point. The point was not to relive how great it was. It was about how I was right there, son.
No, in the words of Kevin Durant to CJ McCollum, don't worry about what's happening at the top, all right? Yeah, you were a three seed.
No, that's what I'm telling you, sir. I'm not CJ McCollum.
You
was at the top.
Like an eight seed. You punned like an eight seed, all right?
We was in the finals on that thing. Right.
Yeah, but it was Spurs Cavs.
Right there, son.
It was Spurs Cavs. That's the thing. You made the finals, but it was Spurs Cavs, all right?
You just happened to might be Kyrie a little bit, but I was 73-9 Warriors. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you were Harrison Barnes the last three games.
If it was February, I would have won. That's all I'm saying.
I have no comment for that. Take two. What the hell was Kevin Love doing? Cavs forward. Kevin Love apologized for his on-court brain fart Monday night, saying his behavior was out of character. That wasn't me, he said. What? It looked like you, Kevin. If it wasn't you, who the hell was it? Because it sure looked like you. Quoting the AP here. Late in the third quarter against the Raptors, Love, who was upset with the officials over some non-calls, angrily tapped the ball back into play on an inbounds pass. The ball was grabbed by the Raptors, who made a three-pointer, went on to win 112-96. I love Cleveland, Love told reporters. I'll fucking rock with Cleveland until the day I die. Also on Monday, ESPN reported that the NBA is dealing with COVID-related referee shortage as the playoffs near. From Baxter Holmes, these absences also have led to six lower-level referees from the G League to work more NBA games this season than anticipated, according to McCutcheon. Their officiating has become a hot-button issue for some team executives who say the quality of their officiating has negatively affected games. Yeah, because the refs already sucked in the first place, so bringing up lower-level refs probably isn't going to help things. Ethan, first, what was Kevin Love thinking in his little tantrum there? And second, does the NBA have a problem here heading into the playoffs with their officiating?
I mean, the Kevin Love one was so strange. I can't
I'll
tell you
what. I'll fucking rock with Cleveland until the day I die.
Well, yeah, because, okay, so it was such an odd outburst, certainly, but I don't think America, by and large, cared about it. And now Love is doing so much. He's like over accountability. I can't even pronounce that. He's doing too much accountability right now. And you just wonder what's going on. Now I'm suspicious. You're apologizing for so much. You're apologizing for so much. I wonder if there's more here. He's talking to the public and to the Cleveland fans like a wife who's been cheated on is the general tone of it, where that's not who I am. That's not who I wanted to be. It was a 15-minute speech that he gave.
15?
15-minute speech. TMZ picked it up. This is not a team. This is not a team, again, that people are by and large paying attention to. I think you could get rid of it in maybe a sentence or two. You could say that, hey, man, it was frustrating with the refs. I lost my mind there. Can't do it. But he's talking about how he's going to rock with Cleveland till the day he dies. And you just wonder, it almost seems like there's more there going on underneath the surface and there's some overcompensation. But that's just me being an amateur armchair over Zoom psychologist. That's it. The refs, the COVID thing. It's amazing. We barely cared about it, and they got way worse, and the players bear the brunt, and we just keep it moving. Yeah.
Not a big deal. Marcus, what has better energy? Kevin Love saying, I'll fucking rock with Cleveland until the day I die. Or Jimmy Butler last year saying, I'm so fucking locked in right now, and I'll do anything that it takes to win.
Yeah, and no competition based on energy would Kevin Love ever beat Jimmy Butler. So that's an easy one. One of them is believable. The other actually sounds like reverse psychology, like you spin the record backwards and hear the real messages, get me the hell out of Cleveland. That's what he said. Like, y'all have forgotten about me. I feel abandoned. I've been left behind for so long that now I have to act like I love it here. That's what I heard. I didn't hear actual real energy. I heard somebody who's blinking saying, help me, with some like SOS with their eyes while they're saying, I love Cleveland. I'll die here.
The Hoops Hype headline is Kevin Love expresses remorse. remorse. So intense.
I mean, you're getting your ass kicked every night anyway. What? Like, it's not like it cost them the game. That's the thing. I'm people are like, oh, Kevin Love, he just threw the ball back in and they gave it to the Raptors. It's like, who on the Cavs is fixing that? It's the Cavs. You haven't fucking mattered unless LeBron had a jersey on or Michael Jordan was torturing you. It's the Cavs.
He should have just said, I was encapsulating how we feel right now.
For the officials, Marcus, is this going to be a problem, like an outright problem in the playoffs?
Oh, I think so. No question. Like, it's going to come. I mean, look, hopefully the playoff quality officials are healthy by the time the playoffs come around. But if you got G League cats in there, how many block charge calls are going to be blown in like a game five? Like, with the state, like, I mean, the regular ones don't even get this right, right? Like,
right.
So there has, I remember a years ago in the NFL when they were dealing with their officials, it felt like they were struggling with the officials. Everybody was talking about it. And then every big game, an official would do something crazy, right? It'd be like, remember when Aaron Rodgers throws the touchdown and one dude has got his arms up to touchdown and he's saying, like, we're going to get moments like that where we know this is a problem. So now you're paying attention to it. And it's going to be some, like, G League ref calling a charge or a block. And the way to curb that, unfortunately, is to go to replay more, which probably isn't the best thing for...
I'm done with replay. I don't care anymore if it's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't care if the calls are wrong anymore. I'm done
perfect,
with it.
Perfect. Perfect is how the you enemy protect of good.
Them, though. Like, call it, go to replay, let them get the big brother of the sky to help. And
I'm so frustrated that the NBA did this years ago. I'm so frustrated that the NBA looked at the NFL and went, gee, what could we learn from the NFL? What makes the NFL so popular? Could it be the scarcity of games? Could it be the violence? I'm pretty sure it's the lengthy replay reviews of shit that just happened. I'm pretty sure that's why.
Seems like the way
you
to
know
go.
What they should have taken was the penalty flag. Like, I'd love to see you.
Well, they got that weak ass little like green light that sirens on, and
I want to
like,
see somebody travel and you throw a flag at James Harden's feet. Like, yeah, that's what
you have to hit an opponent in order for it to be a legitimate challenge.
Just from now on, let's cut replay. Rock, paper, scissors. Okay, the two captains. It's Chris Paul. It's LeBron James. It's the conference finals.
Shoot for it.
Shoot for it's
the
greatest. Shoot for it is the
you
greatest idea.
Shoot for it.
Absolutely. Speaking of shooting, shots fired. Again, it's take three. This week, NBA legend Julius Erving, a.k.a. Dr. J, on Post It Up with Chris Haynes, did not include LeBron James, arguably one of the top three players to ever play the game, in his top five or his second, right? Like, wouldn't put him on the top five for best team? Erving named Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, and Elgin Baylor on his first team. Second team, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Karl Malone, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He went on to explain why he excluded James. Jade, play the tape.
The guy who has led the charge in terms of super teams being put together.
Yeah.
So he could pick his own team. I ain't gonna pick his team.
Marcus, is this another example of old heads gone wild?
yes and no. Here's what I'm gonna do. First off, Dr. J has the perfect gray hair, and I can only aspire for my grace to grow like that. So
he does, yeah.
There's a certain distinguishedness to Dr. J that I'm going to impose onto his intents, where what he was doing was getting a conversation started to honor the era of basketball that people seem to forget about.
Mm.
He slighted the current generation to get us to talk about it. And the truth is, there is an era of basketball we don't talk about that Dr. J is from. There is a time when NBA wasn't allowing black players and the ABA was lit. And he's played with so many great players who part of their entire career doesn't even really count. I'm going to say that he's shining light on that. Like, he's got a real reason, right? Also, probably LeBron plays the same position as him. He wants to say himself, but he ain't going to put, no. You know, he probably still thinks in the traditional positions, and he's like, well, I'm a small forward, so I can't be saying LeBron here. But I think he's trying. I mean, look at the people he put second team, right? Like Magic, Jordan. Like, this was a tip of the cap to the people from his era and his day, because he probably feels like we don't talk about him enough. And for that, he's probably right.
I'm just amazed this is how you get in a whole news cycle. I mean, it's just one guy's opinion, right?
Oh, just one guy's.
I mean, I guess we're...
Ethan,
we're,
this is Dr. J creating basketball malpractice.
Yeah, you're right. It's sacrilege. It's heresy. It shouldn't be
allowed. I mean, you just called him one guy. Like, that's the sacrilege.
One guy.
Just a guy.
Perfect hair.
I don't think the opinion makes a lot of sense. Whatever he was meaning to do, it doesn't make a lot of sense. At the same time, what are we doing? We argue, Adam? I mean, we're not going to convince old people of anything.
Yes.
Anybody with a parent
knows this.
Yell
at old people when they're wrong.
No, they can't convince them. They are going to do what they want to do. They're going to be convinced of what they want. I mean, that's just how it's going to be. This is what we need to do as a culture. We need to mature and reach a level of acceptance. We don't have it right now. You need to realize at a certain point, whether you're dealing with parents or grandparents, we love you. You've got some wacky ideas. We're not going to change you. We're going to expend way too much effort trying to change you. We need to mature and we need to go, okay, can't do it. That's you. You've got some crazy idea about LeBron not being ranked there. We love you, Dr. J. You've done great things for the league, and we will move on to talking about the play-in tournament and whatever else next. I mean, I guess where I'm indicting us right now, because we're part of the problem, but I'm just saying, ideally, other people would do that. Not us, but people would make that leap.
His criticism that LeBron was, you know, he's the guy that ushered in super teams, you know? Is that enough criticism to keep a guy...
He's being creative. He's being very creative. He doesn't want to do it.
Especially considering a team
he
played for.
This is a perfect example. This is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. He doesn't want to go from point A to point B, and he's coming up with every sort of, are you sure we could go through the woods? And, you know, there's this mountain, and, you know, we don't have to. He's working really hard not to go in the direction that is the obvious direction, because he just doesn't want to go there. And that's what being older is like. That's what happens to all of us. We feel how we feel ahead of time, and we rationalize
it. I hate this answer. Like this. This is like awful. This. Why are you giving old people a pass for being shitty?
I'm just explaining it. It's going to happen to all of us.
This level
it
of maturity.
It might have already happened. We might be old enough.
The level of what you are deeming maturity is dismissiveness. Old people have earned the right to participate in the conversation, which means getting smoked when you say something crazy. Like that's they've earned the right to. We got to embrace them into the grander scheme, which means they got to get all this smoke. But if
we're just
going to
confuse them.
Level,
we're going to confuse them. That's all we're going to do.
If there's
then
a higher
then
level,
they're confused.
This higher level you speak of, Ethan, is actually trying to find the grains of wisdom in what they're saying, no matter how crazy it sounds.
Yeah, you're, Ethan, it's called Darwin, not Darlose. Okay, you got to win it.
Yeah, look, your grandmother's saying something crazy. It's your job to figure out. What possible wisdom?
Oh, Dr. J's just set in his ways.
I'm into that to a certain degree. If I can find something, I just can't find something in this instance as readily as Marcus is. I'm visualizing Marcus on the beach with one of those metal detectors looking for treasure, and I don't hear a beep. That's all I'm saying. I think we should try to find it. I think we should try to find that.
What happened to metal detectors on the beach? Is that still a thing?
I don't know.
God, what a time that was.
Yeah.
Looking for pirate booty? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's just why was that? Was that ever a Law and Order? I guess if Law and Order was set in the West Coast,
I'm sure it's like 30 Law and Orders at this point.
Every Law and Order intro was these dudes, like two working class dudes, going like, "Yo, the Knicks, it's ridiculous. They can't win a game. Whoa, a body,
dead body on Fifth Avenue."
It.
One guy that Dr. J didn't have.
Not alive
his,
no more.
On his top two teams is Steph Curry. Maybe because he knew Steph Curry was about to get blown out by the old Dallas Mavericks. Take four. Warriors tanking. The Warriors can say goodbye to those six seed dreams after getting blown out on Tuesday by the Mavs 133-103, including A 28-0 run by Dallas that turned a 12-11 game into 39-11. Maybe 12-12. Oh, they were down 12-11. 12-11 game to 39-12. The Warriors went 9 minutes and 38 American seconds without scoring and missed 15 straight shots, the longest scoring drought the NBA has seen in more than a decade. After the game, Steve Kerr said, "They came out like it was a playoff game. We came out like it was an exhibition. Ethan, is now the time to tank?"
Jade puts this in every week, I swear. He is obsessed with the idea that the Warriors should tank when they are in the play-in bracket. I don't know how to address it. It's odd framing. I will say this. Marcus has not officially given up on six. That's what? The breaking news. He's not officially given up on it.
Come on.
He hasn't.
Is Luka going to retire? What happened? What do you mean?
I said that with all the sarcasm I could muster, and Ethan still didn't detect it.
Six. Jeez. We believe in six.
Goodness.
The six, it's over. They got to keep going. Steph wants them to compete. They want to get in the playoffs. They want to extend this experience. They want to make some fans happy. And Chase, even though I've seen fans complain that you are not allowed to eat or drink in the building, I don't know, by the way, how common that is in the other buildings, but that would, I'll just be frank. I would not pay for that experience. Maybe the Warriors will get mad at me for saying this, but personally, I would not do that. I think it's an essential thing when you're watching a game to eat and drink food. That's just where I'm at. But look, some people in the Bay Area, it's a very quirky area, are willing to pay for it, get in the building, pay for Kelly Oubre. You know, it's a thing. So yeah, you got to keep the gravy train going. You got to win as much as you can, Jade. You can't tank. Not
you
at this juncture.
Play to win the games.
You play to win the game.
And that, and you play to win the game by still letting Kelly Oubre shoot a basketball? We still pretending he's fine
bench
now?
Oubre.
Or?
Bench Oubre is a little bit more palatable than starting Oubre, although that game, it was not the case. I think he was a negative 80 or whatever he was. It felt like negative 90. That was bad. That was bad. The Warriors look, we talked about in the Warriors plus minus, they just look out of gas, man. Wiggins, he's played so many minutes. He looks gassed. Steph looks gassed. They've got they've got Lee and Bazemore in the protocols, so the depth has been on the wane. They are really scuffling towards the end, and even if they have as soft as possible a schedule, maybe they shouldn't tank. Here's a crazy idea. Insane idea. I'm spitballing here. Not tank, but it's nearly impossible for them to fall out of the play-in. Maybe they should really load manage this. I know that they might lose a home game. I know it's theoretically so much better to be in the top of that bracket, but maybe they need to load manage the end of this so they're fresh and they can make a play-in push. How about that?
Marcus? Tank City?
Was it the last game load managing? Give up a 28 run, nobody plays the fourth quarter? Like, Jade, I think you're missing it. They're already tanking. Like,
whoa.
Hey, here's my question. At what point during a 28-0 run, like this run is happening, at what point do you say, we're not running any more offense? Everybody go stand in half court. Steph, shoot the ball.
Yeah.
We're going to run a picket fence play. Steph, you just gonna keep shooting until this run is over.
No, I like the contested Kelly Oubre angle three. I mean, that's just
that,
where I'm
that
at.
That to me was like, what are you doing? Like, none of this is working. None of this is working. Everybody's shooting and none of it's working. And you've got
honestly,
the greatest
so
offensive
bad.
Weapon of a generation.
At a certain point, would it hurt them to get James Wiseman out there in a wheelchair just to wheel around, get some shots up? Like,
would it hurt
is he really
stand
out?
Clay in the corner, right?
Yeah, just.
Get Jessup. Jessup across the ocean.
It's a 20-0 run. It's a 20-0 run, and they're running sets. Like, yeah. Like if we just keep doing it, it's going to work. That I was like, what are you doing? Like, this
we gotta,
is done.
We got to work on our game, guys.
Yeah. Get their draft and stash Justinian Jessup sharpshooter out of Australia back into the States. You need him on that wall. Get him back in. That's,
Justinian
that's
Jessup do. Sounds like a Game of Thrones assassin. Oh, yeah. I don't like the name.
You don't like it? The
no,
alliteration.
I don't.
I mean, alliteration, it's hard to go wrong with that right there. Justinian Jessup. I mean, imagine
I am ready
calling
for the
Jess
up, Jess down, you know. play on words there. You see, Marcus, some of us do that play on terrible. Words all the time because we're terrible. So
that's
good at
what
it.
I'm saying, son. You do this, and I was right there with you, bar for bar.
Oh, were you?
Y'all got to respect that.
You know what's interesting? You know what you never see, Marcus? You never see Apple talking about Samsung. Okay? You just never do.
Yeah, you know do why? In court.
Because they're not concerned with it.
They sue Samsung not concerned. Every year in court.
They're not concerned. In
again, court every again, year, right he went, street. He Marcus, he went musical. He went musical. Nobody saw it coming.
Nobody saw it coming. Yeah.
It was like when we saw the first alley-oop.
This is so disrespectful, by the way. I agree.
It's disrespectful. How dare you put yourself up with me?
I started by giving you your credit. And all I'm saying is that Argentina line was Kyrie hit the three.
Nick Young needs to come out and say, you know what? I know Michael Jordan's great at basketball. However, did you see what I did the other day?
No, the point was to give me my credit, not to give you yours. You missed the whole point there.
Here's the thing. Marcus, you had a great run.
You had a great run.
I know what's happening
here. That was Secretariat.
Marcus, here's a little lesson.
On social media. I know why you're getting all the praise. Here's a little lesson.
You never have to ask for credit. It's just given.
No.
Okay.
This is what we have to do. I have always had to ask for my credit. I have always had to fight for my reputation.
Well, now I'm getting uncomfortable.
Because otherwise, I'm going to fall to number 32 on draft boards, even though I'm the best quarterback in the draft.
God, they're going to take McCorkle Jones and I'm going to lose my shit. All right, take five. It's Julius Randle, the real MVP. It's looking more and more likely. The Knicks will snap an 8-year playoff drought. They're on fire right now. Despite snapping a 9-game win streak, and at the center of this is Julius Randle. We talked about Randle earlier this week on Basketball Buds, and despite one lone objector, Jay King, we all agreed that Randle's a lock for all NBA first team.
Who tried to act like he was there to praise. Oh, I'm here to praise.
Immediately shit on him.
In fairness, Jay was a little...
That was so funny.
Jay was a little tired from having to film an opening scene of Law & Order where he discovers a dead body. So that was... Randle was
27 points per game in April, third best in the NBA. He's top 10 in rebounding and assists this month. He's had two of his 5 triple-doubles and posted a pair of 40-plus point games, all while leading the NBA in minutes. Ethan, how surprised are you that A, the Knicks, and B, Julius Randle's emergence from complimentary player to centerpiece player?
I mean, it's something that wouldn't shock you if you were watching his freshman season at Kentucky. You would go, okay, this is who he's going to be. But after the whole trajectory of his NBA career, how deliberate his game was in many ways, it seemed like there was a ceiling on it. It's really impressive what Thibs has done. Very impressive. And wait, oh, CAA direct deposit just hit. MVP. MVP, Julius. That's my next CAA conspiracy theory. They're paying the other teams under the table when they go up against the Knicks to just try a little less hard, just to try to, you know, just try to prop them up.
Remind me to tell you something after we're done recording that I cannot put on here.
I cannot wait.
Marcus, the Knicks, Julius Randle, you buying the first team? I will say this, and this will be out Thursday in my awards column. Look for clarification on whether Luka will be a guard or a forward in the All-NBA voting. Did not get clarification. It's still being figured out. So
he was guard and All-Star. I don't understand what they're doing.
I know. I'm just telling you. It's not. I still don't have clarification.
The only way I'm not all in is if LeBron comes back and the Lakers surge to number 3. Like, you know, they just go on this winning streak and it's like, all right, LeBron. But that's not going to happen. So, like, when is LeBron coming back anyway? There's, what, 10 games?
Right. He hasn't played since the inauguration. Yeah, so, like, I don't, like, it's...
it's... Look, he's not MVP. I think he's MIP, but I'm definitely putting him first team all NBA. And look, are we going to look later and say what the hell was happening with this year's all NBA?
We can look at it and say, yeah, it was COVID.
This is the season to do it.
This year, absolutely.
This is the season we should be Jamal McGlorin left and right. You know,
no question.
Like everybody understands this was a weird time.
I love the idea of using Jamal McGlure as a verb.
Yeah, this was a weird time, and we are trying to reflect the weirdness of the time so future generations can look back and understand how crazy things got. And so we got to dispense with the whole, look, we're just going with the best player. We want to seem validated looking back. No, man, this was how it was in 2020, 2021.
I think that's why he's got to be there, right? Just because, like, yo, first off, like, the argument, the dude plays practically every game in this. And
yeah, he's missed, like, two games.
It's unbelievable how demonstrably better he is. Like, come on, man. They're about to be the four seed in the East. Like, it's not even – for me, it's probably not even up for debate. Unless I can hear Kawhi. I can hear Paul George. I'll listen, but I'm not giving it to him.
The thing I just don't understand is how you look at the situation and you look at what you need. And you're going to go with someone named McCorkle over Justin Fields. Like, this is the thing I cannot get over, is that you trade up all these picks to get to number three, and you decide a man with the name McCorkle is who you trust at quarterback.
And you then know, your homie, you know what's doing funny? Mock drafts where Justin Fields goes from number three to number 32.
What?
This is the same reason why nobody's giving me love on my Madonna references. It's the same.
And no one's gonna. But you know what's so funny? I did not know that Mac Jones and McCorkle were the same person. Just because I'm not plugged in and I just follow on Twitter.
His name is Michael McCorkle Jones.
I thought these were two different dudes that people were talking bad about on Twitter.
They are. Mac Jones is the guy at Alabama. McCorkle is the disaster he'll be in the NFL.
You better watch out. He's going to be Tom Brady, and we're going to remember this moment, sir.
I still won't want his ass if he's Tom Brady. His name is McCorkle. I am not rooting for someone with the name McCorkle, okay?
That's why you call him Mac.
It was enough to root for Jim Druckenmiller.
You
would have
said that about Wardell.
I'm going to talk my way out of it.
I went by Wardell? Yes.
I'm going to talk my way out of it, and then I'm going to watch a Colin Cowherd segment that talks about how everybody hated him as the needed adversity. You need adversity. Nobody believed in Drew Brees. Too short, they said. Too short. And look what he became. Look what he became. And that'll be convinced.
A compiler. That's what he became. And you just happen to make the Hall of Fame. You also was a compiler, Matt Stafford. Put him on the Saints. They would have done the exact
Matt
same
Stafford
thing.
Matt Stafford has some filthy no-look passes. Come on. Yeah. Come on, man.
I mean, Matt Stafford, better quarterback than Drew Brees. And what? That's going to do it. That's a point of contention right there, but we're going to leave on this point of contention. Thanks to Marcus Thompson, who, I don't know, really desperately needs some love on some okay puns. They were fine. You know, they're fine, Marcus. Thanks to Ethan Strauss, who knows a good pun when he sees one. Thanks to Jade Hoy for producing. I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked on the Athletic Podcast Network, the Athletic Podcast Show, and subscribe to The Athletic.